recognize that he was in many ways an Asiatic. He was Jewish, he spoke in Aramaic, and the original languages of biblical times were Aramaic and Babylonian and Hebrew and ancient Hebrew. And that there were a lot of other teachings which now we are getting familiar with as with the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, which you'll hear about in a few minutes. And so many interesting texts which now are being called the Gnostic Gospels, the Gospel according to Thomas, the Gospel according to Mary, the Gospel according to Peter, so many other texts that were actually consciously taken out from Christianity. When in the 4th century King Constantine had his council in what is now Istanbul or Constantinople, and actually edited out a lot of the texts that were very much like the knowledge that we have been discussing in the last few days, Vedic knowledge. In fact, there's a whole school of thought that suggests, and you might clarify this if maybe I'm wrong, but there's a school of thought that suggests that Thomas, Doubting Thomas, was actually Indian. That he might have been one of the teachers of Jesus Christ. In any case, I've been myself very interested in this area. I've been doing a lot of research. And in the last week or so, I posted my little historical research on the origins of that famous line that most fundamentalists like to quote from John, where he says, I am the light, I am the way, I am the life, and no one comes unto the Lord except through me. And if you actually go through the original, to the original Aramaic, it actually means something quite different from what it seems to come through the King James Version. And in the Aramaic, he's talking about the spirit, he's talking about prana, he's talking about unity consciousness. He's talking about the concepts that you and I have been discussing all this week, that we've all been talking about, how intention in the field of infinite possibilities starts to weave a series or continuum of space-time events that go on into eternity, what David was talking about this morning, about the karmic hallways. There's nothing in the original literature that's at all unfamiliar to those who have looked at the perennial philosophies of the world. So it's kind of disconcerting that, you know, you have such profound knowledge that gets so totally edited out in the 4th century. It has absolutely no resemblance to the original texts. Remember that the original texts were first not text. There were oral transmissions in Aramaic and Hebrew, and then in Greek, and then in Latin, and finally around the 14th century in English. And the first New Testament version to appear in the United States was only 1881. And even that version had a lot edited out, even from the King James Version. I was telling my friend Bob Thurman, who's a professor of comparative religion in Columbia University, and he happened to quote some of this material to one of his audiences, and a young woman came up to me and she said, if the King James Version was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. Okay. So, anyway, enough about that. Today we have an expert with us, somebody who's actually researched the Dead Sea Scrolls. And it is my really great privilege to welcome both Greg and his wife Melissa. And let me tell you a little bit about Greg. Greg Braden, he's actually a scientist. He's an earth scientist. He is an aerospace software engineer. He has a good, great background in some of the topics that we've been discussing, quantum physics. He's a scientist who's made a lot of really interesting discoveries and is continuing to do work with the Dead Sea Scrolls. And he is giving us this very profound insight about what happened 1700 years ago when key elements